C1AN.
Number 8B.
That is also the subject, the fourth subject in our last edition, where she showed the scientific standpoint in regard to malpractice, where mind science is the answer for animal magnetism, where science begins to demonstrate the divine principle, working out the purpose of good only, the maximum of good, the infinite God and his idea, the all-in-all. You see at once the principle standpoint, and impersonalized animal magnetism by saying there is just one animal magnetism, and that's the gender of it, the genus of error. That's the gender of it. So we begin to see that the claim of animal magnetism has to be handled, that there is a person practicing on us evilly. In the third revision, she still showed how these different persons practice personally evil on another, on a victim. In the fourth revision, she put those out, showing that it is not the person that needs to be treated, that needs to be protected from, but that it is a claim, an impersonal claim, and that this impersonal claim of animal magnetism can only be handled from the point of view of science and principle. So I like for myself to consider that standpoint and sometimes think, well, how can I handle the claim of personal malpractice, the claim that people malpractice on me, consciously or unconsciously, if they malpractice on me, for instance, if they hate me, if they dislike me, if they are jealous of me, all sorts of things. But how can I handle that practice on me? Well, the fourth subject gives me the answer and says, well, you know, old man, there's only one thing going on, one practice going on, and that is that principle practices on you. That's the answer of of the chapter Animal Magnetism Today to Malpractice. That it says the answer is there is no such thing as a personal malpractice, but there is a practice going on you. You are practice. You not only practice good, but you are practice. By whom? I see, the only thing that's going on is that divine principle is working out its idea, and it's the maximum of good. So I feel jolly happy about this. And I see, all right, and all that is going on is that principle is practicing itself on me. What does that mean? It means that mind is constantly practicing on me by constantly sending me the best of the best ideas, is constantly working on me the maximum of ideas, the maximum of power, the maximum of good ideas, the maximum of activity. That's going on actually and really and truly. That's what principle can't help doing with me. That it has mind, that it practices on me always the maximum of power and of action and of right ideas and of law fulfilling and law enacting. And that spirit practices constantly on me. I know that. I know that, and I want to know it more and more, that for morning, noon, and night, spirit has one intent to practice on me. And it practices on me by bringing out the maximum of true unfoldment, the maximum of true fruit, not of wished-for fruit, not of the fruits of wishful thinking, but those fruits which principle wants to bring out in me, and not the human wish wants to bring out in me. And I know that that is the maximum that God can do and does do. And so works on me the maximum of birth, of spiritual birth, of spiritual unfoldment, of spiritual vision, of spiritual fruit. And I know that soul is constantly practicing on me. I know that. You can't help it. It's a fact. That's reality. That's the true practice that goes on against the belief in malpractice. That soul constantly practices on me and brings out the maximum true destiny, of true mission, that the maximum of true, you know, what soul always wants to do is to bring out the true characteristic of oneself. The true identity of oneself wants to bring out. That which makes us an individual true identity, that on that soul is interested to bring it out on us. And the more I'm conscious of that is going on, and that soul finds ways and means and time and seasons to bring out and to crystallize that in me, then that's wonderful practice on me. And soul does it, without asking it. And so does principle practice on me and brings out the maximum of government and the maximum of system. The maximum of system in thought, in vision, the system of health, the system of organism, in the organism, the system in everything, and governs my system. It governs my system spiritually, in the spiritual realm, in the psychological realm, and in the material realm. It governs supremely and brings out the maximum of system of every plane of thought and being. And so it's true with life, that life is practicing on me constantly the maximum of living truth. That life is constantly bringing out the maximum of invigoration, of inspiration, of newness of life, the maximum of establishing the individuality, the undividedness between God and man, constantly bringing out the maximum of true isness, brings out more and more that in me which really is and which is not, that in me which is of the eternal nature, not of the temporal nature, constantly practices on me that only that which is lasting is being established, is being brought out, is being nourished and supported sustained and so on. That's the practice that's constantly going on each one of us, if we open our thought to it. And so we handle animal magnetism which wants to kill. Well, then I see truth has only one intention, that is to practice on me and bring out in me the maximum of wholeness, the maximum of the true form of truth, the true form of truth, the true form of man, the true form of health, the true form of my mission, the true form of my destiny, the true form of my activity, the wholeness of my activity. All that truth is just practice on me. And the clearer we know it, the more we open our thought to it, the more that comes into us and abides within us. And that's true about love. Love has one big intention, one big design, and that is to bring out the maximum of love's perfection. And in that love's perfection, love has a big interest to bring out in me the best of design, by placing me and adapting my abilities and placing me at that position where I can do the utmost for the human race, where I can do the utmost for not only for myself but for the age in which I live and for the human race as a whole. That love plane that is so full of adaptation and bestowal, I know that love is practicing on me and gives me and bestows on me all that which I need to be fitted to take that place in history and in life and in my own individual life to bring out the maximum of blessing. And that's true, and nobody can deny it, because it's God and not man. And that's the practice that goes on in an impersonal way, because it's principle working out, as she said, the infinite God and his idea, the all in all. So let's span our consciousness wide enough in seeing how principle is practicing on us. Well, let's go to the fifth. The fifth revision, as you know, as we have seen yesterday, is that revision where for the first time the title is Animal Magnetism. Well, that magnetism is now coupled with the sense of animal, with the belief of life in matter. And it is the warfare between the dragon and the woman, the divine method of warfare in science, where she says that offense must come, and that she speaks about the persecution by the dragon, and where the beast turns on its assailant. It's that period of struggle from 1886 to 1891, in which she opened that department on animal magnetism in the journal, and wherein she has all those articles of ways that are vain, and another article which is not published in the prose work called Malicious Animal Magnetism, and then did wind it up with a positive sense in 1890 with that short card in the journal wherein she shows drop now that sense of dealing with malicious animal magnetism for the time until you know more about it and handle it at present from the point of view of the love for all mankind, with small L, fifth day. Of love, she says, which cannot mistake loves, capital L, loves A. And that is really the way how now in the final edition, the fifth subject is dealt with, namely where she shows that in Christian Science men can do no harm, that he is a blessing for mankind, and that scientific thoughts are true thoughts passing from God to man, and shows that every pioneer of truth is unjustly persecuted and belied. You see, she still has in there the argument, which she still must have in it, because it's an argument of animal magnetism, that the dragon does persecute the spiritual idea. She makes it very general and says that every scientific truth will be persecuted by the dragon. That's the claim of animal magnetism in general way, that the new step in science is persecuted, that we have to pay the price of death or of catastrophe or accident or bankruptcy or loss for following a spiritual idea. And this claim is a claim which we can't shut, which we shouldn't deny and shut our eyes. On the contrary, because such a claim exists and because we profess ourselves so haughtily sometimes to be pioneers of truth and to have something more than the movement and to have an advanced idea for the movement, we also put ourselves there as a target for this claim, this impersonal claim of animal magnetism, that we have to pay the price for it. And you know that the price that we should pay should be death, should be bankruptcy, should be loss of friends, loss of business, loss of home, loss of friends, and so on. And that claim must be handled. And I like to handle it. But I don't like to handle it the way they handled it at the time of the journal time, where they got afraid of it and tried to fight with the dragon. But rather I like to handle it from that card, that last indication of Mrs. Eddy on that period of how to handle animal magnetism, namely from that point of growth in love. Love that cannot mistake love A. And I think we all will be very safe and we will enjoy the newness of life and the prosperity of life, and we will really enjoy that following a higher idea should give us a higher reward. That's the divine law. And we would enjoy that and do enjoy that if we handle the claim of animal magnetism that we should lose anything for going the way of life. And I have always, right from the beginning, I have always said to myself, before I have seen what Mrs. Eddy says in these revisions, right from the beginning, when I had to face the issue of being persecuted and belied and pulled down and taken away my future and so on, I have always said to myself, that's nonsense. If God gives me a higher idea, He gives me everything that belongs to that idea, because life is whole. And so I felt just the other way around. I said, if God loves me so much that I can perceive of a higher idea and a progressive idea, if He loves me so much that He gives that to me, that He puts that into my trust, into my hands, then God really must love me quite a lot. And if He does love me, He loves me wholly, because God is whole. And so He will give me for that everything I need to be whole and progressive. And so I always handled that claim of animal magnetism in the fifth subject from the point of view of love with a small L. Well, I always felt, well, God must love me, and He does love me, or He wouldn't have shown me the way. He wouldn't have given me the insight and the vision to see the new idea of science as science. And as He loves me, and as I'm willing to follow it and to give up all I can to follow it, then He jolly well will love me even more and will reward me for that. And that I put up as a law. I never flinch from that. I've never accepted that because I go a new way and a higher way and a progressive way that I should be punished for it. I never accept. I always accept consciously that I will be blessed for it and rewarded for it without measure, without measure. And I have been. I have never been so healthy as since that time, and I wouldn't exchange my life for anything in the world, I never regretted it. I would never be in the skin of anybody else, and that's very nice. Never. But I handled it and said to myself, well, God, scientific thoughts pass from God to man, and they are good thoughts. They are jolly good thoughts. But they are not only mine. They are not only mine, where God loves me, and therefore I cannot mistake love's aid, and therefore I will see that God loves me for all my activities. I have just a feeling God loves me for all my activities. I feel that. I shouldn't know why He shouldn't love me. If God is love and God is life, and I follow the way of life as far as I perceive it, He jolly well must love me. And I accept it. And I think He does love me. And He must love me, because of the scientific fact, there's nothing personal about it. And so He loves my activity, and because He loves my activity, He gives me new activity, He gives me new vision, He gives me new insight, and He gives me more drive to go on and on and on and on. And so I always have felt, because God is Spirit, Spirit must love me. Spirit must love me, and therefore, because it loves me, Spirit will always bestow to me all the substance I need, will give me always what I need and what is necessary to sustain the idea which I follow. That it would be quite contrary to Spirit's nature if mind would give me an idea and Spirit wouldn't give the substance to it. That would be absolutely nonsense. I just can't see the logic of it. And so I accept that loving thought, that mind is also Spirit, and because mind loves me and gives me ideas, Spirit loves me too and gives me the substance for that idea and the support for that idea. And brings that idea into birth in me and brings forth a new birth, and that and just is all active to bring about that new birth in me. And because soul loves me, have you ever thought that soul loves you? But soul does love you. The soul always loves us for following a new idea. And because soul loves us, it keeps us safe. It keeps that idea safe, and it is looking after that idea and does everything that this idea is kept unhurt, is kept untouched and unfallen, that it is kept in its full integrity, that nothing can touch it, that it cannot be defaced, nor marred, nor anything like that. And that soul does that, because soul loves me. And it loves me only because I follow the right idea. I don't see if I would go back on the right idea why I should ever have a blessing from God. I don't know how I should. But because I go forward, I have love's aid. I have love's aid. And you have it, and everybody have it, because of the law. And if we claim it, and if we are happy about it, and sure about it, and definite about it, it just comes and flows into our lap. And so it is with principle. I always felt that by following the true idea, and following to the best I know, actually only to the best I know, I come to more than that, to the best I know, and doing the best I can to follow it, and not be a coward to go back on it, but to stick to it, and because I feel I do the best I can, I know the principle loves me. I know the principle loves me for that, and never penalizes me for that, and never lets me penalize for that, but brings me from principles love, all the harmony of to my entire system. I feel the reward of it is that principle gives me the Sorry. But if anybody has to go, I quite understand. Trains don't wait for me. So I begin to see that a reward which principle gives me is that principle gives me the harmonious rhythm of the whole system, of the bodily system and of the spiritual system. I'm quite definite about that. And so I think about life, that life loves me, and because life loves me for following the way, I have the love of life, and that means that life is so loving to me that life prepares the way for me. And it's going in front of me, preparing the way, putting all obstacles out of the way, and making the way straight and narrow, but definite and open the way. I never have a feeling that I shall be punished for a true spiritual idea by not being able to go forward anymore, that I must go backwards. No. The prize, the reward is that if we go forward, we will always go forward more. And so truth, I feel, loves me, and it shows its reward that it ushers me gently, step by step, according to the measure I can take it, it ushers me into my true inheritance, to track my true primeval inheritance. And the same is true with love, God as love. And love loves me by crowning my endeavors with success and with blessing for whole humanity. That's the reward I affirm for myself. Well, I'm sorry, but here we are. So you see, we could go on to the sixth revision and the seventh revision, and you would feel how each revision brought a new attitude, how to handle a certain aspect and a certain claim of animal magnetism. And this very same claim is really then in the final edition handled in the respective subjects. So there is the subject of truth and the subject of love. Well, we can't take those anymore, but you see how everything seems to be exact in a spiritual unfoldment, and that from whatever side we look at the subject we are interested in, we find more and more proof of the impersonal absolute order that exists in being. And if we devote our life to the investigation first of this impersonal absolute order of being, we certainly are doing a big job, no matter what the present reward may be for us. That doesn't matter. Because everything starts with mind investigation. And if we do investigate this divine order, we do the right first step. And must leave it to the Holy Ghost, to the development of life, truth, and love, to lead us on then to the second stage when we are ready for it, when the time is ripe for it. But we will be going the way of spirituality. And that should be a reward big enough to be joyous over it and grateful over it and not look so much for other reward. Our reward is written in heaven, not on earth. Let's look for the reward written in heaven and be happy with that reward. Well, next time I will recapitulate all the five chapters and make some general remarks on the work we have been doing, and then I will leave you alone for quite a while.